It's time for The Buzz on KFAR Radio. A look at the growing marijuana industry in Alaska. Brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company. And now, The Buzz.
Hey, that's us. Welcome, everybody, to The Buzz on 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and listen live anywhere at KFARradio.com. I'm one of your hosts, Joe Hatchie, sitting next to me, this fine, strapping young gentleman, co-host and business partner, Sam Hatchie.
Joe, you're hilarious. All I just envision is some people sitting in the cars listening to the radio, and all of a sudden it's like, hey, what's going on?
Radio Welcome, everybody. It's fine Saturday. I love it. Thanks for sharing your Saturday with us.
Yeah, we have the greatest pleasure on earth to sit with a former mayor, Mr. Jim Matherly, which is now the regional director for the Interior and Fairbanks. Welcome, Mr. Jim Matherly.
The Hatchie brothers. I dig my time with the Hatchie brothers. How are you both doing today?
Oh, you know, excellent.
Yeah, just cruising. We had a pretty fun off-air conversation, which we won't discuss, but always have a good time.
This is your second show? Yes. We had you on the first time.
When you were mayor.
Last year?
I left office in November, late October, early November of last year when Mayor Pruse came in, and so I've been gone since then.
Yeah, we're almost at a year's worth of shows, too. Almost. Mid-40s,
I
think.
A little over 50, yeah.
Well, you both do really well. Not only do you have cool voices, which you do, because I'm an old radio guy, and I don't really have the deepest of voices, so I appreciate your voices, but you're obviously... You love your community. You're really involved in it. You're business guys. You're fun to be around.
Well, thank you so much, Jim.
Thank you.
Feel the same way.
Well, yeah, I enjoyed my Foo Fighters next to you, buddy.
Yeah, you know, I tell people that story, and I'm like, yo, you know who was like rocking out hardcore next to me at the Foo Fighters? It was the mayor, bro.
I was this close to getting on stage too with Grohl. I talked to his assistant, but they did not want to bring people up because of COVID.
I
said, look, the mayor of this city is a huge super fan. He could play the drums with you. I mean, he does bring people up. I thought maybe I'd be able to do it, but no.
No, well, that was a great show, though. Three and a half hours.
Just friggin' great.
And I kind of forgot how many, like, hit songs they had.
Yeah,
I've been listening to them since high school, and it was like, geez, this is a Foo Fighter song?
Biggest concert we've had up here next to Elton John in 2009. Those are two of the biggest names. Current names.
Not
from years ago. I mean, Foo Fighters are current.
Yeah.
And it was one of the last shows we could see with Taylor before he passed away, too. Remember?
That's right. That was just a few months later.
Pretty sad.
Yeah, that is sad. But hey, we're happy to be here in the studio with Jim and talking rock and roll and politics. let's just jump right into this, Jim.
Okay.
I'm sure the listening public wants to hear what you have to say.
Okay.
So what motivated your transition from serving as the mayor of Fairbanks into the governor's office? And what experience at a local level kind of contributes to your current role?
I love the question. And I have been interested in politics ever since high school when I was over at Lathrop High School.
Mm-hmm.
And I took government class. And my government teacher with Mr. Marquette, he got me excited about politics. And then I grew up in the late 70s, early 80s, so I watched Reagan, you know, and how he almost got assassinated and how he kind of bounced back, used humor, you know, and he was very well liked for that kind of thing. And then I watched all the other presidents, and I just knew that public service would be in my life eventually. And that's why in 2010, I ran for city council, served two terms, ran for mayor in 16, and then got elected again in 19. So those 12 years serving the city was the perfect introduction to this new job that I have. After I left the mayor seat, which they had to pry me away because I really miss it a lot, and I just loved it. It was a big challenge, but I really loved it. Mm-hmm. I just try to be respectful to everybody and try to, you know, be Reagan-esque. That's how I try to model my behavior. Anyway, I ran for the state Senate, of course, and, you know, Senator Kawasaki's been there a long time, and I lost to him, but that's fine because he and I have known each other a long time. But then the governor's office reached out and said, Jim, would you want to be our local representative in Fairbanks to be the regional director? I really couldn't believe it because I didn't know what I'd be doing.
Yeah.
I didn't really have a plan B.
Yes, please.
So I drove to Anchorage and I met with the chief of staff, and they knew me. They already knew of me, of course. I worked with his administration very closely. So I started in December, and I really, really love and enjoy the job.
Awesome.
I do.
Awesome.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
So in what ways do you believe your tenure as mayor of Fairbanks has prepared you to contribute effectively to the governor's office?
Well, I'll answer that from the job interview they gave to me.
Okay.
You know, when I went down there to meet with them, they go, Jim, these are some of the pluses we see. You've already been elected, mm-hmm. so you know how to work with the general public. Mm-hmm. You worked with all the local leaders in town, the native leaders, the military leaders, university leaders. You know all of them. You've mm-hmm. barely had a break. You've only been out of office for a month. They said you're already pretty well liked in the community. You know, there's some that don't like me, I'm sure. But for the most part, you know, they watched me. They watched me be mayor. So they go between your communication skills, your knowledge of local issues. You're going to be branching out more if you work for the governor. Obviously, it won't be Fairbanks-centric as much. It'll be statewide-centric. Though I'm the local rep, I'm going to look at it on a borough-wide scale and cool. then statewide scale.
Okay.
So they told me this, and I said, well, I love that thought, and thank you for the very nice compliments. I saw myself as wanting to learn more about the state and how it worked, because I've made it very clear for a long time, I would love to go serve in Juneau in some capacity, again, down the road. Right now, I'm lapping up information.
Yep.
I'm just eating and drinking Alaska Constitution and some of the push and pull of the Senate and the House and how it all works and the marriage and the dance of it. It's really amazing. And I told the governor, actually, he and I met in June, and I said, what I love about the job is because I'm elected, I'm not elected anymore, and I don't make decisions, I don't get yelled at as much. And I don't, because I don't. But I get to do the same things I did as mayor. I go to the same meetings, meet the same people, but that's it. I don't do as much because I'm not elected, but I like to represent him, and he trusts me. Above everything else, mm-hmm. he trusts me to carry his message, to represent him well, which I've tried to do since day one.
Just a reminder, you're listening to The Buzz on 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and live at KFRRadio.com.
So let's just touch a little bit on some more community leaders. As a former mayor, you've interacted closely with community leaders. How are you at fostering collaboration between local and state governments? You had mentioned a little bit about how you're going out of Fairbanks. What are some of those meetings looking like? Like, who are you meeting with?
Well, ever since I took the job, I kept my communications for the people I had been as mayor wide open. The commanding officer at Eielson. Mm-hmm. Commander at Fort Wainwright, mm-hmm. UAF Chancellor White, you know, all the local people that I'd already been involved with. But now I've branched it out to Nenana, to Delta Junction, to some of the other interior areas, because the interior is a huge area.
Yes.
And the governor said, you know, you can't make every meeting of every little body around, but you've got to make contact with them occasionally. So I've been on Zoom calls, phone calls, in-person meetings. So that's where I'm learning even more about it. And I've had more meetings with legislators, which I didn't do a lot as mayor.
Yeah.
I'm doing more as his representative. But really what's taken off the most is when I was mayor, it was mostly city residents that mm-hmm. reached out to me. Every now and then a borough, because some folks don't realize how the city and borough work together. I get more calls now from constituents from all over the interior, and it's forced me to talk more and learn more about that area, you know, 40 mile McGrath or 40 mile Cheetah Hot Springs Road, McGrath area. So mm-hmm. I am simply listening to them, engaging with them, calling them back at every turn, because I have to keep track of every constituent call that I take.
Nice.
I have to give updates to the governor every week about this kind of stuff. So that's what's helped me reach out to even more people. Okay. But I've also added some more meetings to my list, native leadership, local nonprofit groups, not all political, you know, groups are out there. And if there's a special event, I'll go stop by a ribbon cutting. I'll stop by. The important thing is for those folks to know that the governor's office is here in the interior. And we care. We want to know what's going on and keep my pulse on what's happening in Fairbanks.
You want to?
I got to say, you're an above and beyond kind of guy, you know.
Oh, I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
Reaching out, you know, always like you could do the minimum, right? But it's not really in your nature.
It's really not. You know, no, you're absolutely right. When I was mayor, I tried to be everywhere. Mm-hmm. And people would go, geez, man, you're here, and you're there, and you're over there, and you're over here. But it doesn't take long to stop by and be substantive. You know, mm-hmm. I don't have to stay for hours. I can come and get a feel for it, make some notes, move on to the next meeting.
So in good faith, if some of your constituents want to contact you, what's a great way for them to give you more work, Jim?
Yeah, no problem. Here's the phone number. What's the phone number? 10 and not Herb again? No. 451-2920. 907-451-2920. That's the local office of the governor. Governor has an office. There's three other regional directors like me that blanket the state. And there's one in the Mat-Su, and there's one down in Kenai, and there's one in Anchorage. And you can call the local office. We're right downtown here on 8th Avenue, right next door to City Hall. I look out my window, and there's my old office in that state building up on the second. Yeah, I look out the window and cry. And
your commute really changed, huh?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, right across the street. So they can contact me there. You know, you could email me anytime, jim.matherly@alaska.gov. And okay. I can, you know, there's a lot of local issues that people are asking about. The Manco Mine, the ore haul thing is a pretty hot topic right now. Obviously, COVID, we still get questions on COVID. We get questions on state budget, school board issues. We get all sorts of questions. And I try to do my best to direct them where to go or find answers for them.
Awesome. So transitioning from local to state government role, can you come up with a shift in priorities? Can you highlight some specific policy areas where your focus is involved in since kind of moving into this role?
Yeah. No, that's a great question. Yes. When I was in Fairbanks, I just looked at Fairbanks-centric things. Now that I'm in this new job, I can understand better the need for food security on an even bigger scale now, because I have to look at the whole state, and it's a huge state.
Yeah.
So that's helped me with my priorities. Stuff like the Manco Mine Project down from Tetlin up to, you know, Kinross Gold. I didn't pay much attention to that as mayor because I was more interested in the Fairbanks-centric things. But now I'm looking at those projects as a priority. DOT projects. We all saw the GARS issue and how we're all going to fall off into the abyss of hell because of that new intersection. But it's turned out to be a pretty good intersection.
Oh, the university over
no,
here?
No, no. Well, the airport way, the GARS.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Most people were calling it ARGS, you know, or they get really angry about it. But, you know, but I'm also involved in those things, too, that the city never did.
I heard a murmur that murmurs around the community that there's going to be a new DOT project going out on the way to North Pole over the Chena flood projects. Do those bridges have to be worked on or anything because of the new traffic due to the mine that's going in?
Have not heard that yet.
Okay.
I just know that those trucks will use the highway that's already there.
Yeah.
And I already know when I was mayor, you know, I simply said, yes, there will be increased traffic. But it's a private road. It's a private road. Yeah. I'm sorry. It's a public road.
Public road. Yeah.
It's a public highway in the state of Alaska. If Hatchie Trucking can use it, and Matherly Trucking can use it. I mean,
everybody can.
It's a public road.
Yeah.
So I know there's a lot of people against it. I understand that. I've passed along every message of concern to the governor's office. But they're doing their thing. You know, it's a private business.
Well, yeah, it's not up to you.
Yeah, right. No. I was just
the liaison.
Yeah, no, merely looking at the DOT projects or anything.
Right. I haven't heard about that particular one.
Okay. No, cool.
I haven't heard, Sam.
Yeah, you're good. So as an advisor to the governor's office, what key insights from your time as Fairbanks mayor do you believe are particularly valuable shaping statewide policies and decisions?
That's a really good question. Because not every Fairbanks thing means the state.
Yeah, totally.
So to speak, you know, but I have been able to talk to the governor about food security has been a big thing for him, and we can be a hub for that food security here in the interior. Maybe that'll involve the old Polaris site. Who knows? But he's talked to me about statewide issues that affect Fairbanks, a spur line for the railroad, which is something that probably should have happened years and years ago.
Yeah.
But when administrations change and different people are elected, those projects that were, yes, kind of get pushed aside. I wish every single project would be fully funded and done before the next person comes in. It would sure make it easier on all of us, but that's not the way they do it. So I've been telling the governor about local Fairbanks issues and how the state can help them with some of those issues. For instance, the governor did kick some money in for the Polaris teardown through the statewide budget because it ended up being a little short from when I was there and then when Mayor Pruz, because we just didn't have $10 million, $13 million to take it down.
Yeah.
So they did help us, and Will Stapp got that, you know, approved, and the governor could have vetoed it, but he didn't. So I really thanked him for that. Mm-hmm. So my job as mayor, with all the things I did in the interior, has benefited me working with the governor. Not everything needs to cross his desk. But I mentioned food security being a really important one. And then school issues, I think, are really important, too, because he's talked about more parental involvement.
Yes.
I only see that as an advantage. I mean, obviously, as a parent with kids in school, I want to know what's going on.
Absolutely.
Why wouldn't I want to know? I want to know. The governor's really big on that thing, too.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
The Buzz will return on KFAR Radio right after this word from our sponsors.
Great deals all week at the Tanana Herb Company. Munchy Mondays with 15% off all edibles. Trainwreck Tuesdays get you $20 six-pack boxes. Don't miss Thirsty Thursdays, 100-milligram hash-aid drinks for just $20. Funky Friday with Bongo half off. How about Shatter Saturdays? Gets you 20% off Frogman and Choice Extracts. Sunday Funday, you'll find Old Deli strains for just $10 a gram. Only at the Tanana Herb Company's all-new retail store. From cultivation to manufacturing to retail. All under one giant 50,000 square foot roof. That's Tanana Herb Company. Open 7 days a week off Wells Street. License number 14467. Marijuana has intoxicating effects and may be habit forming and addictive. Marijuana impairs concentration, coordination, and judgment. Do not operate a vehicle or heavy machinery under its influence. There are health risks associated with consumption of marijuana. For use only by adults 21 and older. Keep out of reach of children. Marijuana should not be used by women who are pregnant or breastfeeding.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
We now return to The Buzz on KFAR Radio.
The Buzz. Welcome back to The Buzz with Jim Mallory and the Hatchy Buzz.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, thanks for joining us today.
Appreciate you, Jim.
Yep.
Appreciate you guys, too.
Glad you're healing up also.
I am healing up. I have this cane, and I had some knee surgery this year twice. And I've never had any kind of major surgery before. It's been really, really? Weird. But I have good doctors, and I'm healing up fine.
Man, I went under the knife once. I got in a car accident and just smashed my left foot as we T-boned another car, which was not our fault, and it was icy, and they have since changed the intersection. Just smashed my left foot into a dozen pieces, you know, and had to get some pins stuck in them the long bones. And that is the craziest feeling when they... No, you're fine.
Come on.
Well, before the surgery... it's a funny story. Well, the nurse is like, hey, I'm going to give you this block. And I'm like, ha, ha, ha. She's like, count to 10, you know, backwards. And I was like, has anybody ever made it? She's like, no. And I was like, what are you guys going to do at 10? Ha, 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 ha. Out.
That's when they gave me a block for my leg.
Yeah, and then I woke up hours later, and I was like,
"Did I make it to 10?
Did it work? Like, how's everything?" And I felt great, too, man.
Versed is a great medicine drug, is what they gave me before they knocked me out for the knee. It was Versed.
Versed. Yeah, I'm not sure what those neural blocks that they give you. They just knock you out and then wake you back up. Hats off to anesthesiologists.
They control your life while you're under the knife.
Oh, yeah.
That's my little rhyme for the day. They control your life when you're under the knife. Speaking of under the knife, politics, right?
No. Politics, yeah. To circle back to our conversation here.
No problem.
So you are the a regional director for the Interior in Fairbanks.
Yes.
After you were a mayor for a number of years and a local, so you were part of the city council too,
City council,
and then you moved to mayor, me. So when Fairbanks may have experienced some crises or emergencies during your tenure, how are you drawing on those experiences to help state government enhance preparedness? Like you were during your tenure was 2020 and 2021 during COVID. Some of that experience when inevitably things will happen in the state, what are some stuff that you've learned from that?
Boy, that's the big question.
Yeah.
And I love that question. I knew when COVID hit, it would be up to me to be as calm and as present as I could be. What it draws me to is 9/11. Okay, when 9/11 hit, big tragedy, But everybody wanted to know what the president would say.
Yeah.
That's when we listen to our leaders. Whether you like them or not, whether you voted for them or not, they're still the leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And when finally Bush talked, people would listen because he has to rally people. That's how I envisioned this. So I knew with COVID, I knew that I have to make some tough decisions. I chose not to mandate masking, but I also wanted to not make people feel diminished if they did mask or didn't want to mask. So I did my daily or every 2-day Facebook Live updates for many months, which really mm-hmm. made a lot of people happy. Some people said, be quiet. Others liked the update.
Yes.
No, I did.
Some people.
No, it's good.
Some people's kids.
Yeah. Just turn me off if you don't like it. You don't have to ban me. Just don't listen to Eminem. You don't like him? Don't listen. It's not that big a deal.
Not that hard.
It's not that hard. So anyway, I over-communicated. When I DJ a wedding, I assume nobody knows the schedule or what's happening. So I guide them through the entire reception, which is what brides like that I do. So I said, well, I'm going to be as open as I can and explain as mm-hmm. much as I can.
Mm-hmm.
So I constantly fed the public information so they wouldn't mm-hmm. be scared. And then when we got heavy snows, I did the same thing. It wasn't just COVID. It was heavy snows or big storms or rainy weather. Mm-hmm. They looked to me. Eventually, I was doing more communication than the mayors of North Pole and even the borough, just because I was more out there.
Yep.
And they were looking to me for updates about everything. Sometimes it got a little hectic because I may not have much information. But I told the governor that what you can rely on is if something were to happen that was really bad, I would communicate and be calm for him.
Cool.
Right? He's a pretty calm guy most of the time. You know, if you've met the governor, he's just
several times.
He's not a fist-hitting desk guy, but he's really smart and he's got his way about him. And I would help him with that image in the interior as best I can. But I loved going through the crisis because I got to watch people help each other, which was great.
Yeah.
I got to compare notes with Anchorage, who shut everything down. That was their prerogative. It just wasn't the prerogative that I wanted.
Yep.
Thank you also.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Well,
because that's lockdowns was just killer.
Brutal.
It killed a lot of businesses and a lot of people's faith in government. I decided I was going to be mayor for vaccinated and unvaccinated folks.
Mm-hmm.
I took both sides and I was very calm with both. So you want to wear it, go for it.
Yep.
If you don't want to wear it, your thing. If you go to a business that asks you to wear them, be polite and wear them. Don't cause trouble.
Uh-huh.
Go to other restaurants if you want to or other places. And I think it worked fairly well for the most part. We didn't have many, many brush-ups during that time.
Just a reminder, you're listening to The Buzz on 97.5 FM, 660 AM and live at KFARradio.com.
Well, I don't want to be so bold and to say that you embody the freedom of America, but that is exactly what I would look for from any of my public figures and leaders, right? Like advice to what potentially could keep myself and my family safe. But ultimately, I am an American and I am a human and I have my own decisions of what I want to do.
Yeah, whether you're a Republican or Democrat.
I love that neutral standpoint of,
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that. It's not a big mystery, or people who know me know that I lean right. I was mm-hmm. raised a Republican all my life,
mm-hmm.
but I've softened on some things. I'm not a radical. I think you could have moderate Democrats and moderate Republicans that work together.
Oh, yeah.
Moderate. I gave you the example earlier. If you drive on the left side of the road way in the ditch or on the right side in the ditch, you're not going to have a good time driving in the ditch. If you're too far either side, you got to get onto that road, fight for some space, but be mm-hmm. on the pavement where most of us dwell. Most people live near the middle, at least a little.
Yeah.
And we can come together on some things and find some common ground. When really radical people, I mean really radical, people get elected or else take over the conversation, they don't really think of it for the masses.
Mm.
And not much gets done.
Yeah.
You got to work together. And that is a cliche, but there's no other way to do it. This is how I taught my five. I have five sons. And they'd fight over toys. I said, look, you got to share. You got to do the best you can to work together to work out your problems. And that's the same way with the public.
Mm-hmm.
They're smarter than you think. It's not my job to boss them around. In fact, my only job as mayor was to pick up their trash, plow their roads, and provide them with police and fire.
I love that.
That's what I collected taxes
so simple, but...
That's what I collected. That's why we collected the taxes, right? We're not there to hold their hand and make them wear a mask and do all this.
Nonsense.
Well, for me, it's not what I wanted.
Yeah.
And I credit the city council for not forcing my hand to do it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I know Acres did it and a couple other places did it, and I just chose not to. And I think it worked pretty well. Some people got sick, and I feel bad for those folks that got sick. I really do. I'm not one of the people that say it didn't exist, it was made up. No, there was a virus going around.
Well, I got COVID twice.
Yeah, you had it yourself.
Yeah, I had it twice. Yeah. You know, both times I was making deliveries to Anchorage and picked them up over in Anchorage, not anywhere around town or anything. I just, you know, went on a delivery and came back, and man, you just got hit with a sack of doorknobs.
Can you believe it that all the time I was in City Hall, I was around a lot of people who had it. A lot of city employees got it. I never got it.
No kidding.
I am just, I don't know why.
Yeah.
I'm just really blessed that I never got it, but I had family members who got it. So trying to swim through that was very scary. And I remember early on, I went to a meeting at FMH, and we didn't know what to expect. And I think the federal government was really saying millions could die. I mean, this is before we knew every little thing.
Right.
And, man, it was scary. So I just knew that I had to be calm and respectful. If I panicked and went nuts, the public would, too.
Yep.
So,
and you can't really come back from that, either. I mean, you start that fire, like, it's going to run away.
Yeah, there's a lot of crazy rabbit holes you can go down with the whole COVID thing. So it's like, just staying focused, staying positive,
keeping people safe. Yep. Yep.
Polite. Politics doesn't have to be a dirty thing. You know why? Because you got to have leaders. You can't do away with leaders. You can't defund police. You can't defund government. You can't. You have to have
Infrastructure.
You have to have an infrastructure. You have to have a repository of funds and where it goes and helps. It's like a church where you tithe to a church and they go get their stuff done for the church. You got to have government. But there's some things the government doesn't need to bother with or butt in with. They just shouldn't do it. And, and I made that very clear when I was at the mayor's office. And I try to take that message with me to the governor's office. And working for the governor is a dream because I've thought about running forever. And this is a good trade. I mean, I took the job for selfish reasons, too, because I want to learn more about it. Oh, I love it. They're just so good to me. They're just so the governor and his staff are so good to me.
Well, I like the governor. And if he feels that you're a great representative for the interior here and willing to listen to your moderate way of approaching issues, not to say that in any slant or anything, it's just a smart way to approach things. That gives me a lot of faith in the governor, knowing that he's got representatives out there with level heads that are patient and aren't knee-jerk reactions and really looking for the best for our community here. We had touched a little bit about food insecurities and education. We only have a small amount of time here.
Okay.
So the governor's office handles a wide range of issues.
Yes.
What do you prioritize your focus in the advisory efforts? What's if you were to give me like a top 1-2, what are you guys really trying to focus on right
now? Well, some of the governor's big focuses for the next couple of years is food security.
Okay.
Making Alaska more independent, growing more of its food, growing more of its things, whether it be...
The Nanana Food Project?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or similar, across the state.
Okay.
So, and when he got reelected, which is the first time, you know, we've had a 2-term governor in quite a while.
Yeah.
And that was good for him. I think he did really well with COVID as well, I mean, as a statewide leader. Anyway, back to this. His focus, a lot of it is parental involvement in schools. He was pretty big on that during his State of the State address. And food security is another big issue for him and however that looks. So I will advise him from the interior. There's some local people here that I met as mayor, who were interested in that, too. So I've hooked up with them, talked with them, got information with them, and I'm forwarding that as best I can. That the governor call and say, or his chief of staff, say, Jim, more about this project, this project. I know over at the Chamber of, FEDCO, the Fairbanks Economic Development Corporation, they also have an area about food security. So I've tried to work with them, too.
Well, it's been a real pleasure having you on for the second time.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. I appreciate it, Joe.
Yeah,
I appreciate
anytime you want to come back and talk about anything, man.
I could talk
here
to you guys all day long. I really could. Not even this show, just everything else. Music, you name it, whatever. It's just fun being around you.
Yeah, you're very enigmatic, very nice, polite person. Jim, you're a funny guy.
You
raise a great family. You've done a lot of awesome things for our community.
Oh,
and it's our pleasure to just know you. You know, and be able to BS with you.
I appreciate that very much.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Sam.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. It's been another episode of The Buzz. Thank you for sharing a small part of your Saturday with us. For more information about Tanner Herb Company, come see us at our retail store at 1200 Wells Street in Fairbanks, or find us on Instagram and Facebook. Coming up is Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper.
You've been listening to The Buzz on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com. Brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company on Well Street. License number 14467. To listen back to this or past episodes, go to the archives page on the KFAR website. This has been a production of Last Frontier Media Active and KFAR Radio.